This morning, the title of the sermon I put in is The Salt of the Earth. And as believers, Jesus described us as believers as the salt of the earth. And we're going to go ahead and read in Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We give you thanks for everything that you are doing. We give you thanks for everything that you are, the healings that's going on, the miracles, and we can see your mighty hand move, Lord. We give you thanks upon everything, and we pray that your spirit would be amongst us and that we'd be able to learn more about your character and who the plans that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So one of the interesting things, and for those that may not know this, but in that time and age, salt was not only used for what most people use it for nowadays, as to flavor food, but it was also used to preserve food. So one of the things, that, interesting ways that I'm thinking about is that I don't think when Jesus was saying that we are the salt of the earth, I don't think he was referring to give a little bit of flavor to the world. And one of the points I have is salt not only gives flavor, but also absorbs liquid. It absorbs things. It maintains things. So now, in my opinion, I know, like I said, it can give flavor or add to flavor, but like if something doesn't taste good, you say, you know what, this could do a little bit of salt, just add it on. It's just a enrich food. However, sometimes it can make it taste worse. Now, one of the examples I can give to you this week, for those that don't know, I have two small children. And they came to me and they said that they wanted yogurt. So being a good dad, I was like, okay, I will give you some yogurt. And so I gave them into their little bowls. They're smaller, so I give them small portions instead of the entire tub. And so I put it on the table, and I kind of, you know, let them be. They're at that age now that I don't have to supervise them when they're eating most of the time. But I came back after a little bit, and my son's bowl was completely empty. He scarfed it down. And my daughter's was a little bit more than half was still left, but she was no longer sitting at the table. And I looked at it, and I'm like, why didn't you eat your yogurt? You asked for yogurt. Why didn't you finish it? And she's like, I didn't want it anymore. So my son, realizing there's yogurt to be eaten, he said, I want it. So he runs over to the table, grabs a big spoonful and puts it in his mouth, and he goes, bleh. She put salt in it. Quickly runs over and rinses out his mouth with some water, and he's like, that was terrible. So there are some things that no matter how much salt you add to it, it's not going to taste good. As a matter of fact, sometimes you can even add too much salt to something and it could taste even worse. And I've had countless times I've gone out to eat with my kids, and my kids are like, just a little bit of salt, and the top comes off and just pours all over it and just ruins the entire meal. It's like, it doesn't matter at that point how much you try to scrape off, you're not getting all that salt off. But the thing is that not only does salt give flavor or add flavor sometimes, but it also absorbs liquid. To the point where what they're saying is that once salt gets above a certain temperature, I believe that it absorbs so much water, that's actually when it dissolves, just because it's absorbing it so much. It absorbs such a good absorbent that lots of times, like for example with my dad, in the hospital, the doctors are like, you cannot eat salt or you cannot consume salt because it's going to cause you to store water. And That's an interesting way to kind of think about it. Would say we're the salt of the world. Instead of adding a little flavor, but think about we're the ones that are absorbing His Spirit. We're the ones maintaining His Spirit. We're the ones holding His Spirit. And so if we're thinking about, if He's saying that if what happens when a salt loses its saltiness, loses its ability to do something, if that was to happen to the church, if we're no longer able to absorb or maintain His Spirit, the church is going to be in a pretty bad situation. We'll be in big trouble at that point. And I'm doing it again, doing the points, and then not even kidding. Okay, so the other thing is that we're also referred lots of times as cups. And what I'm getting about this is that I have that feeling that what we're being referred to is more of a storage unit. Now, I don't that might not be a great thing to think about it, but bear with me. In Psalms 23, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." That's a great example. Lots of times the church uses this saying, we want our cup to be overflowing. We want our cup to be filled. And we're always asking Him in that figurative thing, like talking about our spirit, that we want to be filled with His Spirit. We want our cup to be full. We want it to be overflowing. And we've put it into the perspective of our role on the earth, that we're basically, we are the containers for His presence. We're the ones representing Christ on the earth. And if our cup is not full, then we're not doing our jobs as being that walking beacon for God. If our cup is not full, we're the ones with our lamp and we're just putting a bowl over it. We're hiding it to not give off that light. So what happens when our cup is cracked and dry? Now, I have in my house multiple cups. And my wife could probably even tell you which cups are my favorite, because I always tend to grab these specific cups. Now, I don't know if any of you have a specific cup that you say, this is my cup. This is what I like to grab. This is the one. Like, if you were given the choice of all the cups in your house, there's one specifically that you're going to grab. And mine tend to be made out of plastic, because I have kids and if they want to take a drink, I don't want to be afraid that they're going to break it. And the other thing is that they tend to be large, because I don't like to go back and refill them. So what happens, though, after you've used the cup for so long, especially if they're plastic, is they start to crack. And one of my cups that I have, when you look on the side, it looks perfectly fine, but at the very bottom, it's got this little crack on the bottom. And it's fine if I have like room temperature water or something in it, but the moment I put anything that's cold or hot in it, all of a sudden it starts leaking out the bottom. And then all of a sudden now I have to start refilling the cup. And every time when we come to God and we have cracks and our cups are cracked and dry, we're asking to be refilled, what is happening is that spirit, that presence that is filling us is just seeping out, and it's not going to last us the time that when we first was the brand new cup. It's not going to last us as long. And what's going to happen, let me put the points up here, we'll feel empty. We'll lose everything He pours into us. We'll be like, God, fill my cup. But if your cup is full of holes and it's all cracked, what's going to happen to it? It's just going to pour out the bottom. We're going to find as well that we'll be lacking when our faith is tried. And we'll be dry and weak. We won't have a source to draw on when we're in the middle of our problems, in the middle of the storm. So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Now, this verse is used very frequently, and for those that might not understand it, because it was common knowledge back in that time, Wine, brand new wine, when it's put in something to be stored, lets out gases and basically starts to expand. So what happens is when you have wine skins like they had back then, it will blow up almost like a balloon. So what happens when you put in wine skin that is old, that's already been blown up to its maximum capacity, you put new stuff in there and it starts trying to expand it again, it's going to burst like a balloon that has too much air in it. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's the same way that when we come to God and say, we want something new, fill our cup. Well, if our cup is not preserved, if it's not in the ready standpoint to receive something new from Him, then what's going to happen? We're going to lose everything that He's trying to pour into us. Just like my broken cup, that if I start putting something that it cannot handle, it's going to start pouring out the bottom. The same thing will happen that when our faith is strained or when we're enduring those difficult times, if we're trying to maintain based off of something that the touch we received from God and it all poured out the bottom, then what are we going to hold on to? We're just going to feel weak. We're going to feel miserable. Now, one of the examples that I could give you of this. So in my house, just like here at the church, I have a water pressure system. So beforehand, I had a pump, and then we had a big tank that would help maintain that pressure. What happened is after time, the tank stopped working. And so basically, whenever we turned on water, the pump would turn on full blast and it would reach the maximum pressure and automatically turn off. And so when you're trying to take a shower, the water's going. And so my wife started complaining about this. Don't know why. And she said, I can't regulate the temperature. It's either scorching hot or it's freezing cold. I'm trying to take a shower and I'm getting third-degree burns and at the same time freezing and getting. And so she's like, fix this problem. Well, my dad had made a suggestion before saying, well, instead of, you know, dealing with a pressure, like a tank, there are these special pumps that will maintain the pressure by themselves. You just program to what pressure you want, and when you turn it on, it turns on a little bit. If you need a lot, then it'll turn on a lot, but it maintains it itself. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to get this pump to work because it's a smart pump, and sometimes I feel that it's just a little smarter than I am. And the problem I'm having is every time it turns on, because the way it's not submersible, so it's not in the water with it, it's up on in our basically laundry room, and it's got a pipe going all the way to our cistern and pulling out water. The problem is that if that pipe fills with air, it can no longer pull water. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to find a leak that I have no idea where it's at. And every time it turns on, it's like, and I fill up the pipe, it's completely fine. But little by little, it's just a little hole somewhere. Little by little, and the water starts dropping, and fills with air to the point where I have to go back out there, reopen it, and fill it with water so that we can get water. And it's the same way with us, that I'm fine right now, but even with a small crack, with a small leak somewhere, little by little, it's going to be drained, until we're like, God, fill my cup again. Fill me up again. We need to be renewed in Him. We have to take our old cups to Him and say, renew me. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful natures, to be made new in an attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, and I want to see, do I have points here? I do have points on this one. Good. So we have to be made new. Now, there's an old song that my great-grandfather used to love to sing about take off the old robes and put on the new. And it stuck with me for a long time because he would always sing it, seems like, when I was there. Well, he and I would go fishing, and he would just sometimes sing some wild songs, but that was one of the songs that he would always sing. But we have to be able to take off that old self, that old perspective, and put on our new selves. Ask God to give us a new mentality and a new goal. Because before we're going to come before Him and ask Him to refill our cups, we have to be made new so that we're not filled with holes and cracks. Now, for an example, for those that have had children or have known of children, you might realize when a child is first born, you might be using a bottle that's yay big. A couple months later, it's now this big. And once they get to a certain point, you now take away the bottle and you're giving them, squished up food. And then you get to another point where now you're trying to teach them how to use a spoon and fork. And so there's a process to growing and the way that you're feeding them. And the same way is with us in our spiritual lives. Lots of times we're growing up and we now want our solid food put in a bottle. We want to be bottle fed instead of growing and saying, God, okay, I'm now ready for my next way to eat. I'm now ready for my next cup. I'm now ready for this new sway for you to provide that sustenance for me. And so we have to be able to be ready to be to receive, but have something to be able to retain what He is giving us. It's a change of our mindset. It's a new goal. As a child, parents, we have goals for our children. For me, an example, one of our goals that we have for our son is that we would like for him to learn how to read. He is in that process that he's trying to learn. And then once he learns how to read, well, next we'll have the next goal of the next thing what we're wanting for him. There's a process. And don't think that God does not have processes and goals for every single one of us. There is a process that, yes, you might be a baby in God, where someone has to come alongside and take your hand and walk alongside you because you're learning your new baby in Christ. But eventually, if you're 20 years in Christ and you're still needing to take hold of a hand of somebody, then you're not maturing in Christ. Something is going wrong there. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 through 18 says, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink, offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." We need to be a living sacrifice. We have to be ready to be poured out. It's the one thing to be there to assist new believers in Christ, walk alongside them, take their hand because they're new in Christ. They don't know. How many have been there with a brand new new baby in Christ? And, the shock when they're still trying to change their old habits, when they say something or do something, it's like, that's not godly. So, but at the same time, we know they're brand new in Christ. You'll say, we don't do that. We don't say that because, that's not what things that Christians or believers do. You explain to him so that they can continue to grow in Christ. But you don't expect someone that's been 20 years in Christ to still be doing the stuff that they were doing beforehand when they were brand new in Christ. You expect them to be growing to the point where now it's not them being holding on to somebody else's hand and being helped walk across the street. Like with my kids, I have to take their hands and walk across the street. There are many times when my kids have released my hand and tried to run across the street. We're like, no, we can see a car coming, but you're not paying attention. And it's the same way when we're looking at new believers in Christ. That we have to be, our minds have to be renewed. Our goals have to be pushed forward. We can't be living for 5, 10, 15, 20 years still with the same goal of eventually I will get off this bottle. Eventually someday I will do this. Because I could tell you, it's a difficult process sometimes to wean a child off a bottle. My daughter did not want to get off of a bottle. She's like, I really want my bottle. I was like, I understand that, but the dentist said that if we don't take the bottle away from you, your teeth are going to go crooked. So there's things that we do out of love because they need to be done. And then once our mindset has been changed, once we're in a new place and God has given us a new cup, a new vessel to be able to hold that spirit, then we should let His Spirit overflow us anew. Because I could definitely tell you that you get a lot more Spirit in a big, you know, tub comparison to a little bottle that you might have at the very beginning. And if you're trying to stick with that little bottle that's cracked, and you know, I really love my bottle. So, but there's so much more that God can give you. There's so much more out there for you. But you have to trust in God and ask Him to give you an upgrade. Say, I am ready. What's my next goal? Where am I going to go? So that when the troubled times come, when your faith is tried, is that I have plenty to grab from. Because I could tell you, you know, when you're at home, and there are some houses here in Mexico that have what's called tinacos. They're up on the roof and they're full of water. That stores a lot more water than a bucket. And when you're trying to, you know, do dishes or these kind of things, you're really glad that you have a bigger storage unit of water than just, well, I have this little bucket that I got to make sure I'm very cautious with what I'm using. So it's the same way with God. If you have so much fulfillment of His Spirit, well, I only have so much to go around. I have so much that I can give. Well, let's do an upgrade. Let's get a bigger container. God, fill me up. Overflow. I got plenty I can receive now. This new version doesn't have any cracks. I'm ready to go. Put my new goal in. So next time I can set up this size, I can now look at a pool size. In Romans 15 verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. God wants us to overflow. God wants to give us. God wants to make sure that when our faith is tried, when we're having difficult times, we have a source to be able to pull from, saying, I have my foundation in Christ. I am not dry. My cup is overflowing. That it's not the first cup that I had when I first became a believer. It's an upgraded version that I have so much more that I can draw from because I have so much more knowledge of God. I have so much more maturity in God. I am so much further along in my walk. I am not staying in the past. I am now walking towards the future and the goal that God has for me. We have to let God renew us, renew our minds, so that when we're walking in Him, that His Holy Spirit can overflow in us. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We give You thanks for everything that You are doing. Lord, we want to be filled. We want our cups to be overflowing. But as right now, our cups might be cracked and dry. Lord, we don't want to use the old wineskins that we had at the beginning. We want something new for the new wine, for the new stuff that You have for us. And this morning, if that's you, they're saying, I'm ready for a new cup. I'm ready for an upgrade. Just raise your hand. So, Lord, here I am. Give me that upgrade. I am ready to get off this bottle. I'm ready to go to my jumbo size cup. Fill me up, Lord. Renew my mind. Change my perspective so that I may be able to live the way that You want, but that I can have more of Your Spirit to be able to draw from. That I won't be leaking Your Spirit as I walk out the door, Lord, that I be able to maintain what You have for me. Lord, we give You thanks for everything that You've done in our lives, and we give thanks for the new goals and purposes that You have planned for us. We thank You, Lord, for everything that You're going to do and the things that You're doing in our midst. Fill our cups that we would overflow with Your goodness, with your Spirit, Lord. That we would not be the ones to hide our lamp, but we would let it shine. Give us the courage, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.